Series with this team concept that Brent brought in with us last week as he shared on the purpose of biblical community. I really appreciated how he served us so well from God's word in reminding us of the purpose of biblical community and why we are here and what we've been called to as a church family. As he pointed to a passage there where Jesus is spending time with his disciples and some of those last moments that he had before they before he made his way to the cross where he gave his life for us. The series that we've been journeying through is, we've called it Back to Basics. And in a sense, it's been about reminding ourselves of the fundamentals of what it means to live out our faith in Christ in community and some of the things that we need to keep central to who we are and what we are about. We must be about keeping the gospel central. We're about being an authentic biblical community that spurs one another to faithfully live out the gospel by celebrating, by caring for each other. That's what we do. We got to celebrate Rich there a little bit ago. Supporting, about coming alongside each other. And we do this all because we have a great confidence in a God who faithfully leads us and who provides for us and has already won the victory. Jesus said this in Matthew 16, verse 18, about his church. He said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And so this morning, as we continue through this series, my prayer for our church family is that we would be a community of believers that has every confidence in the power of the gospel. That our confidence, everything about us as we move forward, is that it's all about the gospel. That is our only hope, and that is who and that is what we are trusting in. That we are a church that is trusting in every situation that we may face, in the goodness of God, that he is good and that he is great. There are things that we're going to face in life, and there are things that are going to come at us that are going to maybe at times might even cause us to question and wonder at that, but we want to keep on pouring into that and be a church that is trusting that in every situation that he's good and that he's working for the good. In all of that, that we would be a church that finds peace in the mercy of God that is bigger than any failure, to know that maybe our pasts are full of all kinds of failures and shortcomings, and they surely are, but to know that his mercy is greater and far surpasses it, that is, as we sing so often, that his mercy is even more. That as we look to the future, to know that there are going to be times whenever we fall short, that we can rest and find peace in the mercy of God that is so undeserved, and that we would be a people that are resting in the grace of God that is bigger than any need. That there isn't anything that his grace isn't greater than, that his waves of grace are just going to keep on coming, and that we can rest in that, and that we're going to rely on the power of God over any obstacle or challenge. And that because of the hope that we have in Jesus, that we would be a people who are speaking of and who are singing of his greatness, and that we are a people who are generously giving of our lives to others for his glory. That's my hope. That's my prayer for us. But as we know, along the way, the journey can be very hard at times. It is not just an easy sailing at all. It's a battle. And so if we're not careful, we can miss the mark very easily. And so this morning, I want to turn to a familiar passage in Hebrews chapter 13. If you have your Bibles, would you turn there? And we're going to be looking at verses 8 through 17. And as you turn there, just a little bit of background as to the themes of this book. And we didn't sing it this morning, but one of those songs, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing," we sing it numerous times. It's a favorite. But this one verse, it says this: "Oh, to grace, how great a debtor, daily I am constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee." And then there's this line: "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And so here's my heart, O take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above." And isn't that so true in our lives at times? That there, sometimes we feel these opposing desires. There's this desire that we have to honor the Lord with our lives. And then there's the opposing desire to honor ourself, or to flee from sin, or to flee to it. We all have this tendency, maybe at times, to leave the God that we love. But as we're growing and as we're walking, as we're following after Christ, that begins to lessen. And we, as we've been given a new heart, as we work out our salvation, But in this life, there's this tendency that we need to be careful to address, and that's what the writer of Hebrews is writing about a lot of times and a couple times throughout this letter that he is writing to these people. Because here we are, if you look in Hebrews chapter 10, just turn back a few chapters in verses 32 through 36, we are reminded that this is what these people have been going through. He writes in verse 32, "But recall the former days when after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison. You joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. And so therefore, don't throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised." He's saying here, you used to go through and you were willing to lay down your lives and go through hardship and suffer for the sake of the gospel, but something has happened. And what we're finding here in this letter is that there are people here who are in danger of drifting. And clearly throughout this book, this writer is making the point to those who fail to heed God's warning. In Hebrews 3:12, at the beginning of the letter, says this, "Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God." Why is this so important? It's important because of the potential of what can take place whenever we lose sight and we don't stay near to him and we don't take care. Hebrews 4:1, "Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it." The danger is that if we aren't careful, there's a drifting that can take place in our walk and in our relationship with the Lord. He states the point in Hebrews 2:1, "Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it." Saying if you're not careful, there is this tendency and there is this reality of drifting. And so we got to stay close and stay near to him in the basics of what it is to follow after Christ. So that's the message of the letter to the Hebrews here. It's a letter full of encouragement to these messianic Jews to stay focused on the truth of the gospel and what God has called them to do. And so over and over, he's pointing out to these people, and you can just read through it, through this whole letter. It's a wonderful letter. Just reminding them of the supremacy of Christ in all things, that he is the one who is worthy of all of their worship, that he is over all of creation, as we've already began our time together with today. That he is the one who is over angels, over an old sacrificial system, as throughout this letter, he's just reminding them and showing them that of how Christ, how Jesus fulfills all of it. And as we turn to chapter 13, starting at verse 8, the writer, he once again points us to what Jesus has accomplished on the cross. And so that's where we want to start today and read about that together. So in verse 8, if you have your Bibles there, let's stand for the reading of this passage, verses 8 through 16. It says this in Hebrews chapter 13. "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods, which have not benefited those devoted to them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tent have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy places by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burned outside the camp. And so Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. For we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. And do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God." Our Father in heaven, this morning, as we come to this passage, Lord, we ask that you would speak to us, that we would be encouraged, that we would keep our eyes fixed on you and to what it is that you have called us to be. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, so in verses 8 through 12, what we read here is a reminder of what Jesus has accomplished for us on the cross. He says, be careful, don't be led away by strange teachings. There's all kinds of strange teachings around us in our culture in this day, aren't there? Believe this, or whatever. And here the guy, the writer is saying here, stay focused on this truth, and this is the gospel. That Jesus is greater than anyone or anything else, any other teaching. There must have been some kind of weird teaching going on here related to eating food and certain foods or not eating certain foods. We don't know exactly what that is all about, but we know that he says here, be strengthened by grace. That's what I want you to focus on, and be strengthened and encouraged and know, and don't lose sight of the grace that there is in Jesus. And know that your salvation is not based on works, but it is all fully because of the grace of God. And then he reminds them of how the high priest would make sacrifices for their sins time and time again, like it would just have to keep on going outside the camp. And how in a similar way, an even greater way, Jesus, he also suffered outside of the gate. And we're reminded in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10 that that no longer has to happen because we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. It is done. There is no more going outside the camp to make sacrifices for sins. But Jesus, in his dying on the cross and giving himself as the ultimate sacrifice, he died once and for all of our sins. It's by his own blood that we have been sanctified or made holy. Paul, he writes about this in his letter to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 5:19. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. In 1 Peter 2, verse 24, Peter writes this, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. And then after he reminds them of the gospel and the power of the cross and that Jesus is worth it, he continues on here in verse 13 and he says, therefore, in light of all of that, in light of this truth, let's go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. For we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. And he says, let's go to him. Let's go to this one who is the founder, who is the perfecter of our faith. The one who, for the joy that was set before him, just a chapter before he writes this, right? Hebrews 12:2. Who, for the joy that was set before him, what did he do? He endured the cross, he despised the shame, and he is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And so let's go to him and let's experience everything that he's experienced. Let's be willing to lay down our lives and give them up for him. Let's don't be stopped. Let's do this. He says, let's give him everything we've got. Let's faithfully be about the name of Jesus and about making his name known. He's reminding these people who are in danger of drifting to go to him and to keep on going to the cross and follow Jesus and treasure him above everything else. Why? And he goes on here, he says, because we're not living for here. This isn't everything. This isn't home. We're living for what is to come. We aren't living for the world that is going to pass away, but rather we're living for the city that God is building. We're living for Jesus Christ. We're not living for here. And so he continues on and he simply lays out here for a number of ways for what it looks like for followers of Christ, for the church, to live in these days until that day. As we look forward to that glorious day when he returns, and he gives us a picture of what that looks like. And so these are the fundamentals, these are the basics of what we want to be about as a church. Firstly, he says, let's be a people who are offering up unceasing praise to God. That's verse 15, right? Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. We want to be a people. You know, talk about what do we want to be as a people here at Devonshire? We want to be a people that are overflowing from the heart with words of praise, of adoration, of thanksgiving to our good God. Because he has saved us, he has forgiven us, he has restored us, he has redeemed us, he has reconciled us, he has rescued us. It's all because of his grace, and we can't talk about it enough. We can't help but tell the stories of his glories because he's so good to us. And this praise is to be continuous, never ending, never ceasing. It's to be what shapes, it's to be what characterizes us. Sometimes that's easy to do in the good times, but even more, even in the hard times, his praise is to ever be on our lips. This is a sacrifice of praise that flows from our mouths as we confess that Jesus is Lord. What do we do with our mouths? We speak, we tell, we sing, we shout, we share. And it's important for us to do because what is it that comes out of our mouths is what is in our hearts. And it's just an overflow of what is going on in there. It reveals what it is that we're spending time filling our mind with and our hearts with, because that's what's going to come out. They reveal a changed heart and what a heart treasures. And so, first thing I want to encourage us to be is just to continue to sing and continue to be a church that is just telling of the glories of our great Savior. And secondly, let's be a people who generously and graciously love others. Verse 16, do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. He says, this is how you please God. You do it by treasuring him more than the things of this world. You show it by not holding on too tightly with what he has blessed you, but you're willing to share it and to be a blessing to others. You show your love for Christ by sharing it with others for the sake of the kingdom. Remember, we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. And so it's about living a life for others. It's about lip worship, and it is about life worship. And so might that be what it is that characterizes us in our lives, that there is this, as we talk about being worshipers, lip worship and life worship. And so back to this idea of being a part of this team called a church, knowing that there is a tendency to drift, recognizing that there are times and ways that we are prone to wander, here are the three basic things I just want to remind us of this morning that matters. Number one, as we talk about going to him, are we going to him? Verse 13, are you going to Jesus, who is the leader, the captain of our faith? Are we staying focused on him, that he bore our sins in his body on the cross that we might die to sin and live to righteousness? I love that. That, why did Jesus come? Did he come just to save us from our sin? No, he didn't just come to save us from our sin, but he also came to save us to live for him and for his glory. Are we focusing on what we want rather than staying clued into what he's telling us to do? Who is it that is in charge? Are you going to him daily? Are you spending time with Jesus? That's what Paul makes this point in Philippians 2 when he says, hold fast to the word of life. He's saying, hold on, cling to him, keep on going to him. And so who are you going to? What are you doing with your life? Are you going to Jesus? This passage challenges the person who's drifting. You may not think you're drifting, but I suggest if you're not going to Jesus, then you're drifting. You're going away from him. Are you being strengthened by grace? Are you staying close to the gospel that says it is only through Jesus that we are saved? Secondly, there's this talk about words of praise that we mentioned a moment ago. Anyone who has been a part of a winning team knows that there is so much more to it than just being able to play the game and get basketball, get the ball in the hoop. But it's about, there has got to be some good communication going on. You need to talk. And so for the church, we need to be a people that are talking about God. We need to be a people that are full of praise to God, that when we get together, we're talking about how we're seeing evidences of God's grace in our lives. We got to talk about how we're seeing him work in us and around us and through us. We need to share those stories, because all of that talk is just praising our God. What is the fruit of your lips? What would people say if they just sat and they listened to your talk? What would they say? Oh, that person, they love Jesus. Oh, that person, they can't get enough. They see him. They have their eyes wide open to everything that he's working around them. Or, boy, that person is a negative person. That person is not really overwhelmed and overcome with that. You know, what is it that they're hearing? What would they say characterizes you? What would they say characterizes us? What is it that is important to them? And lastly, how's your love for others? What are you doing with what he has given you? Are you holding on to it tightly, or are you using it to bless others? What you do with what he's blessed you with, how you share and do good, also reveals that which you treasure most. What is it that you treasure most? Do you treasure looking good and showing off what you can do, or do you treasure Jesus and making much about him? Whole point of all of this is that we've got to treasure Jesus above everything, that he is the most important in our lives. May they show it in every way. So as we close, he's calling us as a church to an unstoppable love for him that is expressed in our words and in our actions. Very simple. And we're pilgrims, we're travelers, and we are passing through. This is where we are. We're not home yet, but this is where we are, and what we do here matters. And so let's be worshipers in our lip worship, in our life worship. Let's not lose sight of our Savior. He is a faithful and he is a gracious God. And the home that we look forward to, and let's not lose sight of that. And let's always remember who we're living for, and that'll shape how it is that we're going to pilgrim here. Just imagine if you close your eyes and you think about this. You know what we just talked about, a church that looks like this, what does it look like? It's a people who are in love with their Savior, and all that they can do is just keep talking about how glorious and wonderful he is. He is a great, great Savior. All they can do is talk about his grace, his mercy, the love of their God, and there are a people who are generous and gracious, reflecting their Savior to those that God has put in their way. It's a beautiful thing, and we get to be a part of that. And we are that. Such a gift. And so let's be a church that continues to grow in that. It's all about pleasing our great God and shining like stars. So let's bow our heads. Let's just consider that. Maybe is there one of those three ways that God is calling you to grow this week? Maybe it's just going to him, and maybe it's been a while since you went to him.